Are you ready for the Word of God? Today we're in a series called Reroute, and this is the part 5 already of this series. We're talking about God who loves to become a GPS of our life. Andre already said this, our worship leader, said that sometimes we as people act like sheep. And the thing about sheep is when you gather them and put them in a nice place to feed, they start to scatter, and eventually, they get lost. And as people, we have a tendency to do that in our life. If life is like a road, sometimes we go into the ditch and not stay on the road. Sometimes we go into the pothole and we get lost. Sometimes we get so lost that we need GPS, God's positioning system, to get us back on the road. And if you want to listen to more of these messages, you can go back on our newlifechurchsf.org website and you can hear some of these messages about how God wants to reroute your marriage. God wants to reroute even your sex, right? Last week. And today we're talking about three-part series. Well, it is a series, and then I made a series within a series, okay? And I wanted to preach today a message called Live, Give, and Go. And I wanted to do this in one single day. But when I started studying and writing a message, by the time I got to page 2, I was only still in the part 1 of it. So it's like, there's no way I can run through this message so fast. So today, I'm just going to talk about live part. And today, we're going to talk about money, because the video was about money, and it belongs to God. So in the next 3 weeks, we're going to talk about God's plan for our money. Now, I know that people get funny when I talk about money. But we already took the offering, so we're not going to take an offering. That's not what this message is about. I want to talk to you about things that's so dear to your heart that it offends if somebody talks about your money and what you should do with your money. You know, I get offended when somebody says, well, you got a little more than you need, so you should give it away. And I'm like, that's none of your business. I can do whatever I want with my money. And if you're honest, you would say the same thing. If somebody says, you should give money, and you'd be like, I can do whatever I want with my money. Don't tell me what to do with my money. Because people get funny when we talk about money. Money represents more than just paper, the numbers. Money represents life. We had to work hard to make that money, so you can understand why people get so touchy. Myself included, your pastor, get touchy when you talk about my money. And I'm sure you feel the same way when I talk about your money. But just trust me, I'm not going to try to take an offering here. I just want to tell you that God has a plan for your money. God has a plan for your money. And that plan is simple. It's in three. Live, give, and go. Okay? So now, live. Today we're just going to talk about that, but I'm just going to give you a quick overview. Live means God wants you to have enough money to live. Number two, to give. God wants you to have enough money to give. Simple. He said sometimes people only live for themselves. We provide for our family, and there's nothing wrong with that. We provide for our family, our kids. We provide for their college. We provide safe homes. But that's it. We stop there. God wants us to go a step further. To give, to be a giver. He says, blessed are those who give even more than those who receive. So there's a next level with God. God wants you to be generous with your money. And number three, God wants you to go. He doesn't just want you to give to your church and that's it, just me and mine. He wants you to go. Bible says, go into all the world and do what? Preach the gospel, preach the good news. Did you know that God doesn't want you to just live in one city? Some of you have been stuck in one city for too long. God wants you to go on missions trips. Some of you are like, what are you talking about? I'm barely paying my rent. Well, then this message is perfect for you. All right? God wants you to go. And you know what? It's not just to go to missions trips, which I believe every one of you should be going at least once every 2 years on a missions trip. Somewhere. Yeah. You need to see different cultures. You need to see what God is doing and how God can use you. You know, all this information, all these messages that I preach to you guys, you can go out and preach them too. Because I got my message somewhere too. I wrote it, of course, but got it from the Bible. But sometimes I'll listen to other preachers and I get good points out of them and I use them. Yeah. So I'm not going to be too proud to say, no, it came from the Lord and me. I'm so smart and spiritual. No, no, no. I read books. I listen to messages every day. Seriously, every day. I listen to a message every day. Try to anyway. God wants you to go. But that, he doesn't just want you to go on a mission trip. He wants you to go on vacation sometimes. I talk to so many people. They're emotionally drained. You know what I mean? They're empty. And you know why? I ask him, when was the last time you went on vacation? We don't do that. I thought that was unchristian. What? The devil lied to you. God wants you to go on vacations. Jesus would take his disciples for a week of time and spend in the mountain with them, doing nothing. Just hanging around and chilling and eating. That's all they would do. Eventually people would find them, of course, and they would have to minister to them. But one time a woman came and Jesus created a perimeter. He was in the center of this place. He says, don't let anybody bother me. He was taking a little vacation. Jesus, Son of God. You would think, don't you have all the power? He's like, nope, it's time to rest. And I'm going to take it seriously. And so he set a perimeter and he said, disciples in that perimeter and said, when they come, they have to go through you to come to me. And a woman came begging, please, can I get to your master? And they said, no. She kept begging, and they said no. So finally she got to their nerves, to their last nerves. Can I please see your master? Please. And so he's like, let me go ask. It was probably Peter. Let me go ask. Or Andrew. Jesus, this woman just won't leave us alone. I told her that you want your peace. You're on vacation right now. Jesus says, let her come. Fine, let her come. That's in the Bible. That's in the New Testament. Some of you are like, that's not the Jesus I... Because you don't read the Bible. That's why you don't know this Jesus. Because you get your information from CNN about Jesus. And they won't give you the whole picture. You get your Jesus from Fox News. And you won't get the whole picture from those guys. You know what I'm talking about. You got to get in the Word. And you'll start seeing things you never saw before. But Jesus wants you three things. To live. To give. And to go. So today we're going to talk about that Jesus wants you to live well with your money. God wants you to have enough money to live. If you look at the Bible, it's full of verses talking about money. 11 out of 39 parables that Jesus taught was about money. You think that was Jesus trying to collect an offering? No, come on. That's not what he was trying to do. He didn't come here for the money. He has all the money in the world. He left it all. If he wanted comfort, he would have stayed in heaven. He didn't come here to be comfortable. Some of you need to understand that this life is not for comfort. This life is not. Now, we as Americans, we love to be comfortable. I love to be comfortable. Went on vacation with Tanya. We walked into the hotel room and we're like, eh, it's not as good as the last time we were on vacation. So why? Because we like comfort, right? And that's okay, but just remember, this life is not all about comfort. This life is about purpose. Going in the wrong direction. But Jesus talked about money a lot. Crown Financial Ministries compiled a list of 2,350 verses in the Bible talking about finances. Lots of verses about money. So God is not afraid to talk to you about money. And as your pastors, I'm not afraid either, because my motives are pure. My motives are pure. So, God wants you to have enough money to live. Let's read Ecclesiastes 10:19. A feast is made for laughter, and wine makes merry, but money pays or answers for everything. You need money to live. Some of you are so spiritual that you're like, we don't need money. We can be poor. And your wife is ready to leave you because you don't have a job. And you promise to take care of her and provide for her, but you don't work. Now, we're not talking about those who can't work, people. How many of you know that? Those who are disabled. We're not talking about those. We're talking about healthy men and women who don't have a job. And I want to just hit you with a hammer a little bit because I'm going to offend somebody today. You're just lazy. Get a job. God wants you to have money. No, I'm just going to live off people. I'm going to be like Jesus, you know. I'm going to walk around from town to town. Did you know that Jesus was a businessman? When his father died, Joseph's physical father, he took over his business. He was a carpenter's son. So he was the oldest in the family, and that's what they did. When your dad was a carpenter, you became a carpenter. Do you know the man that Jesus chose to be his disciples? Most of them were small businessmen. Who was Peter and John and Andrew? Fishermen. Who was James and John? Parents? Fishermen. They had a crew of fishing boats. Who was Matthew? Tax collector. He was in business. He was in finance. Now he was a little crooked, but Jesus, he can straighten the crooked, right? I mean, he knows how to do that. But a lot of men, who was Paul? Tent maker. You think Paul was collecting money for himself? No, he said, there was times when I didn't have a church. I had to start a church, and there was nobody in Rome. There was no church in Rome. He was the starting. There was no church in Galatia, in Corinth. So he had to go and start it there. And to provide for himself, what did he do? He didn't say, God, please, I need a bag of gold, please. Send it to me. No, what did Paul do? He made tents. He said, God, you're going to provide for me supernaturally, or you're going to provide for me naturally through the hard work, but I'm going to preach the gospel. God doesn't mind you having money. He doesn't want money to have you. Money could be a good thing. Money is a tool for good or for evil. How are you using it? That's the question today. Some of you have a spare dollar, and you always said if you did have a spare dollar, you would give it away. Everybody said that one time in their life, but then you went and gambled it away, and then you said, I don't have nothing to give on Sunday. Saturday night was fun, brother. But I don't have anything to give. Of course, you already tithe. You just tithe to a different God. You're a tither, no matter what. Just who are you tithing to? Not asking for your money. Many people get in trouble, get off the road, get into the ditch with their money because they don't follow God's plans for their money. I've been there. When Tanya and I got married, boy, we got ourselves in trouble. You know, we were poor when we got married. Everyone who leaves their parents' house is poor. Come on, that's the truth. Even if your parents are millionaires, when you leave their house, you're poor. You're broke. That's right. Thank you. And it's okay. Everyone starts that way. You're broke with wisdom. You don't got much when you leave your parents' house. And you're broke in your pocket. And that's okay because God says, I'm going to teach you. And God teaches believers and unbelievers the same way. Life has a way. God set it up so life will teach you a lesson. So it's okay. We started broke, but then we wanted to drive expensive cars that we couldn't afford, buy things we couldn't afford. And just we were always broke to the point it was tearing our marriage apart. I mean, we were in a ditch with our finances. We were so off the road that God wants us to travel. And eventually, we had to come to God and say, God, please, what are we doing wrong? And he said, you're not living what I'm teaching you in the Word. And when we got back to the Word of God, we were hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt. I was driving a new truck that I couldn't pay for. You know, the payment is like $500, but then insurance is like $300. I didn't know about that. The dealer doesn't tell you, does he? The salesman, oh no, it's just $499. That's it. The gas was like $300 a month. $300 insurance, and I'm like, I can't make these payments. And eventually I had to sell that truck and said, I just can't do it. I don't want to do it anymore. It was hurting us because I was doing money, not God's way, but my way. And I wasn't that smart, financially speaking. And so God had to teach me how to work with my money. And what happened was, it's one big word that we don't like. It's called discipline. We just don't like discipline. We think, I don't care about money, so I spend it easy, you know? Or you do. That's you having no discipline with your money. And God had to teach me. And listen, there's no other way to financial prosperity. Not the right word, because you'll equate it to me being a prosperity preacher. I'm not. But God does want you to prosper. That's in His word. He wants you to prosper. Sometimes I do financial counseling with people, and those who are just struggling, and I'm like, why are you so broke? You make good money. And when they start telling me, well, I have Netflix, I have Hulu Plus, I have cable TV, I have internet, I got Dish Network, I bought my TV, plasma, I bought my plasma at Best Buy, 60 days interest free, it's been a year now, my furniture at home is from the furniture store. I pay $9.99 a month for the rest of my life. My dog, we got him in a store, and we're paying on that too. Our vehicles. And they're like, if we just made more money, we would be so much better off. We would be happy. Did you know that people who make more money usually spend more? So it's... Some people say, I'm going to go get a bankruptcy. I'm just going to start over. Bankruptcy will not give you a new habit. Bankruptcy will not make you automatically disciplined. Somebody say amen. Yes. And so we had to discipline ourselves. We had to stop going out to eat so much. We had to cancel some of those little things. We had to cancel Netflix. And you know what? We only had to cancel it for like 2 years, because now we got it again. But now we can afford it and pay for it. So it's not like God is saying you can't have it. He just says you can have it just in the right timing. It's not like God says don't have sex. No, He says have it. But I don't hear many. Did you hear the message last week? Okay. Right? So God wants you to have all these things. But He says you're going to have to discipline yourself. Some of you, I had to. For first like 7 or 8 years in our marriage, we didn't go on a vacation with Tanya. I mean, marriage is horrible, falling apart. But we're working hard, trying to pay the bills, you know. Can't go on vacation. I went to my friend who didn't even have that good of a job. And I'm like, how come every year or twice a year you go on vacation, like Cancun or whatever you go? How come you go that, you know? And I'm like, what is wrong? I'm making more money than you. I know that. I looked at my parents. They work some of the lowest jobs. They go on vacation. They drive good cars paid for. And I'm like, what is going on? So I had to go get some wisdom from older people, those old people, you know, that we young people think we're so much smarter. But we had to go and ask. Some of you need to schedule an appointment with somebody you know who's doing good with their money and ask them, what are you doing? Teach me. But that takes humility. And we don't want to admit that we are. Because we act like we're rich, right? But we're really poor. And that's called poor pride. I came up with that word. But anyway, I just came up with that. But it works. Thank you, poor pride. It's when you don't have anything, but you look like you do. And everybody thinks you do. And then you, yeah. God wants you to have money. He created money. He gave us the idea of currency. But we have to do money His way. Otherwise, money can become a tool for evil or to destroy you in your life. The way God provides, point number two, the way God provides for your finances is through work. Okay? Now some of you are like, whoa. The way God provides for you financially is through work. I see a lot of Christians. See, people in the world know this principle so well. But when we come to church, we lose a few for some reason. And let me tell you why. Because a lot of people become Christians and become super spiritual and say, now God will provide for me. I don't have to do anything. And that's just laziness speaking in you. Because God provided a channel of how to bless you financially And that channel called, say it, work. God wants to bless you through your work. Did you know that God works himself? Some of us think that work is a curse word. Work, it's not a curse word. It's actually a word of blessing, because that's the channel. God doesn't just throw money from heaven and says, here. But so many super spiritual Christians, I'm just waiting for a check in the mail. Every day, Pastor, I go faithfully and I pray and I say, it's coming. I buy a lottery ticket and I know I'm going to win. God says, I want to bless you. I want to open the windows of heaven on you and pour out my blessing, give you so much blessing you won't have room enough to contain. People quote that, but they don't understand what that window is. That window of blessing that God says I'm going to open on you is work. And many times we start working in a place where we don't like to. We don't start working necessarily in a place of our assignment. I was a dishwasher for many years. I told you this. And you know what? I made a decision. I'm going to be the best dishwasher there is. Then they moved me to table setter. That was like, at that time, it was like, yeah, I'm moving up in this world, climbing the ladder of success, you know? And then one of the managers, his name is Ray, saw me work hard in a kitchen. And he said, you're the best kitchen worker I've seen. When I was a dishwasher, there was never any plates in the windows. I worked in a bank cafeteria, and they would bring plates, and sometimes they would overload the guys who worked there previously. And when they would bring plates, you know, they would all come together like a herd. They would come eat, and then they would bring it all and stack it in a window, and you're like, what do I do with this? He said, I want to hire you because there was never any dirty plates. You take them as fast as we can bring them. I'm like, yeah, that's what I do. And so he hired me into the bank part, and there, sounds like I'm bragging. I am a little bit, just a little bit, because I'm a human, right? But he brought me in his department, and I became the fastest mail opener, because I had to open mails. I was the fastest one. They would bring a video camera to see how I do so much mail. Seriously, true story. So God wants to bless you, and you don't necessarily start in the place where you want to end up. Sometimes we start at the low place. Look at Joseph. God had him start as a slave in the house of Potiphar, then a prisoner in a prison house, and in both places, because he worked hard, most people in that job was like, I'm just doing enough. Just see, Joseph said, I'm going to do as I do it unto the Lord. I'm going to work hard. And that's why God rose him up. That's why God brought him up. Listen, young people, don't think that life is just easy. You're going to have to work hard. If you want anything, you're going to have to work hard. But I'm a Christian. Isn't everything by grace? By grace, you're going to have to work hard. Because people come up with all kinds of Christian mumbo jumbo to not to work. And then they said, I'm tired of working physically. If only I had an office job. Listen, I used to have that prayer too. Then I got an office job. I was like, please let me out of here. I just want to work. I just want to do something with my hands. Some of you office people, you know what I'm talking about. So you don't know what you're asking. Work is not a curse. When God created the Garden of Eden, he put Adam, before he gave him Eve, he gave him work. He says, I want you to tend this garden and keep it and protect it. Tree trim, you know, collect the fruits. Make sure the deer don't eat the little trees. There was a lot of work, even in the perfect environment. How many of you are getting what I'm saying? Work is good. It's good. Some of you are workaholics, so you're doing it on the other side. So you got to kind of balance that. But work is good. God worked 6 days. On the seventh day, he rested. And one of the commandments he gave is don't work 2 days and rest five. What was the commandment that he gave? Work 6 days and rest one. Well, in America, in the United States, we kind of didn't know when was the sixth day. Was it on Saturday because Jews? Seventh day. Because Jews celebrate the Sabbath on Saturday, and Christians celebrate Sunday because that's when Jesus rose, you know, early in the morning. So they said, what should we do? Saturday, Sunday, Saturday, Sunday. So they said, let's do both.
That's how we have 2-day work weekend. All right, so, but that's all cool. That's all cool. But some of you are like, I want to work 1 day a week, and I want to be rich. No wonder you fall for all the Ponzi schemes there is. Bible says those who desire to be rich fall into a snare and many different troubles. That's what Bible says. Don't fall for that. There's no easy money. Either you're going to work with your brain really hard or with your hands really hard. There is no other. There's some people say, I want to be in ministry, Pastor. Their mindset is that ministry, you don't do anything. And we work 12 sometimes. When we just purchased this building and had to remodel, we worked 18 hours a day here. Yeah. Ask our kids' church director. She'll tell you how long she was here. It takes work. Everything that God blesses takes work, and a lot of work. And it's okay. Work is not curse. Number two, and I didn't get to this, the way God provides for us financially is through work. Some of you are blessed by good parents. And what I mean by good, they made you work hard. They made you grab that rake and rake and rake and rake. They made you work hard. They made you work hard in their business, maybe. And that was my dad. He was 7 years old. I swear it was child labor. He was breaking all the child labor laws. He worked the job, but then he decided to start a little farm, too. You know, like to gather crops. And so guess who had to pull the weeds? And there's no weed killer then, you know. So guess what you have to do? You pull the weeds in that farm. And for hours. And then you burn them. The funnest part was to burn that stuff. That was the funnest part. But he would make me work, and I would hate him for it then. But then when I grew up, I realized that my dad loved me and did something for me. Some of you didn't have a dad like that. We lived in, we were poor when I was growing up, and we lived in like projects, like 5-story buildings, government buildings, and there was no work. So my dad says, we gotta give him work. So they would send me for summer to work at my Uncle Paul's little house, and he lived like 50 miles from us, and he lived on a farm, and he raised pigs, actually. And not pigs, he bred pigs. And he would not raise them, but sell them small, you know. So he would make them grow. And so every morning they would make me get up, and I would hate it. Because they would go to bed late, and they would get up early. And I'm like, how do you guys do this? Early in the morning, would have to get up, like the sun is not even up yet. Because pigs are, you know, they're hungry. And so you go out into the beet field where the beets would grow, and then you would rip the leaves of beets, the big ones. Then you would take it and put it in this machine, and I would have to spin like a chipper kind. And my aunt would have to push through those leaves, big leaves, to cut them in little pieces, and then they would mix it with a whole bunch of stuff, and they would give it to the pigs. And every morning, they would make me do that, and I would be like, Lord, why am I doing this? What's going on? But it made me work. My uncle was a businessman, and so I got to hear everything about business because he talked a lot. But he wasn't just a talk a lot guy, but he did a lot. And that's where I learned to skin my first rabbit. First, other things that maybe I shouldn't say what I skinned. Killed my first geese and a chicken and did all that stuff. And then I grew up, it was easier for me to work. Sometimes, some of your parents were not like that. And so it's harder, but it's not impossible. You're still going to have to work hard. Mentally or with your hands. People who work mentally don't understand people who work with their hands. And people who work with their hands don't understand who work. I've been in both positions. If I were to choose one, I would work with my hands. It's just easier. Seriously, it is easier than with your brain. Because when you work with your brain, there's so many distractions come into this brain. I mean, especially with Facebook. Can't work. Can't get anything done. Email, beep. Your brain gets distracted very easy. So seriously, I would work. So don't complain if you're working with your hands. Work hard. Are you getting what I'm saying? God gives you power to get wealth. Deuteronomy 8:18. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth. Now, who gives you the strength to work? God. To get what? Wealth. He wants you to work hard.
Now, does that mean everybody's going to be a millionaire? He doesn't mean wealth, that everybody's going to be like super rich. No, it means wealthy means you are able to provide for the needs of your family, to live, to give, and to go. That's wealth. For some of you, it's going to be $40,000 a year. For some of you, it's going to be $200,000 a year. For some of you, it's going to be $1 million a year. To live, to give, and to go. That's wealth. Wealth is having enough money to do what God has called you and purposed you in this life to do. For some of you, it's going to be a lot. For some of you, it's not going to be a lot. But happiness level and reward level is the same. A mother who maybe doesn't bring a paycheck, but she takes care of the kids, rewarded just as much as her husband, who maybe makes $100,000 a year or $50,000 a year or $25,000 a year. She's rewarded just the same because she does what God has called her and purposed her to do for that period of time in her life. That's what wealth is. Because a lot of you will think wealth is that and I'm not that. No, in the Bible we see godly wealthy people and godly poor people. In the Bible we see godless rich people and godless poor people. So just because you're poor doesn't mean you're good. Amen? Just because you're rich doesn't mean you're blessed. So God gives you power to get wealth. Second, hand of diligent makes rich. Proverbs 10:4. He who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of a diligent makes rich. He says, if you work hard, you will be rich. And rich means different for every person. Amen. It's having enough money to do what God called you to do, and able to give and able to go. That's what it means. Third, God wants you to work hard. Colossians 3:23 says this, and whatever you do, do it heartily or with your whole heart. Whatever it is, if you're a mother, do it with a whole, you know, stay-at-home mom, do it with your whole heart. If you're a waitress, do it with your whole heart. If you're a doctor, do it with your whole heart. If you're a nurse, do it with your whole heart. If you are a tree trimmer, do it with your whole heart. If you're a landscaper, do it with your whole heart. If you're a mechanic, do it with your whole heart. God blesses, opens the windows of heaven when we follow His way of doing things. You said, well, I'm going to create my own way of blessing. And God, I'm going to ask you to bless it. God says, nah, you align yourself with my way of doing things, and then I'm going to bless you. And this works for believers and unbelievers alike. So if unbelievers follow these principles, they will get blessed just as much as believers do. That's why you see some people say, well, he doesn't serve God, but look, he's prospering. Well, because he's following the principles that God created. And you, who know God, choose to not obey his principles. Am I being too harsh? I've offended all of you. I know. I'm sorry. Everything God created was created to solve a problem. And your work is how you solve that problem. Let me give you an example. Adam was created, and then there was a problem. A garden needed tending. Garden of Eden. God put him in a garden to tend it. What problems do mechanics solve? Broken car problems. What problems do dentists solve? Imagine if a dentist became a believer and said, I'm just going to wait for God. I'm tired of digging with those teeth. I'm just going to wait for God to open the windows of heaven and bless me. How many people would suffer? All of us would be like, oh, come on, go to work, man. Please, please, would you go get a job? And the way God rewards us when we solve a problem, God rewards us financially. Some of us, Lord Jesus, we want to do nothing, solve no problems, and we wonder why God is not blessing us. Because the channel of blessing is our work. Amen. Lawyers solve legal problems. Mothers solve emotional problems. Waiters serve you food. Cooks make your food. They solve a problem. Tree trimmers trim trees for people. So an old grandma wouldn't take a chainsaw, climb a big tree, with a 30-pound chainsaw and cut it herself with it and drop a tree on her roof and cause more damage. So she has a problem. You have the solution. You were a monkey kid when you were growing up. And so she hired you and you didn't. She paid you well. Money is the bonus. Money is the reward for your work. Did you know that work brings people satisfaction just like drugs bring people satisfaction? Some of you are like, what? Work? You know you can get a high after finishing a job. When I used to cut trees, and that's why I mentioned tree trimming, I used to like stand before this big tree that was way overgrown in person's backyard, and I'd be like, oh, this is so hard. And I would climb it and cut it down for people, and then at the end of the day, they write me a check. And guess what I get? Yeah, I get money, but inside, I get so high. Yes! I feel so accomplished. I feel so fulfilled. I don't need to go and smoke some reefer to feel good about myself. I already got my high. I already got my high. I already got my high. I don't need it. Ain't nobody got time for that. I already got my high. Farmers, you do the same thing. You waiters, you get the same thing. Bankers, you get the same thing. You get that feeling, I did something. I've accomplished. I used my gift. I solved a problem for somebody. Your work is more spiritual than you think. Some of you think, if I was a pastor, if I was a worship pastor, that would be a job for God. God says, no, whatever you do, do for the glory of God. So a waiter, when he does his job well, does it for the glory of God. A scientist, when he does his job well, does it for the glory of God. A banker, a lawyer, whatever. Whatever you do, a mechanic, when he does a good job, for a single mother or for anybody, and he maybe goes a little extra and charges a little lower, he does it for the glory of God. Some of you looking at people who work hard and you're like jealous of them, and God says, I want to bless you in your area, in your gifting, so you can fulfill the purpose I have designed for you. So God wants you to live. God wants you to live. He wants to bless you financially so you can live and take care of your family. So you won't be a lazy father or lazy mother. He wants you to work hard. Jesus says, my Father works and I work. Did you know that God still works? He could sit in heaven and wait for the angels to attend him, but he works. Jesus said this. My Father works. It's in the book of John. Go find it. And I work. God works 6 days a week. We have to work five in America. If you want to have extra, go work six. That's overtime, right? If you're young and maybe you have too much time on your hands, go work six. Don't work seven. Sunday's for the Lord. He wants to bless you. He wants to bless this church financially. You know why you're here today? And maybe you feel uncomfortable, and I understand. I'm talking about money. But God wanted to hear you to hear that message. He doesn't want you to give up. And some people have been beat up by the devil so much that they have no confidence in themselves. And so they can't even keep a job for a while because they're so unconfident. I've seen that too. God says, I've blessed you to do the work. I've given you abilities, talents, the brain, the mind, the hands. You can do it. He cares about your work. And listen, maybe you have to start in a place where you don't like to, like Joseph did. But boy, after God was done with Joseph, he was a prime minister of Egypt. Maybe you start low. Maybe you start in a place where you're uncomfortable, but you work hard and God will raise you up. You will not be saying, because a lot of people say, why should I work hard? I'm not going anywhere anyway. There's no opportunities here anyway. Are you working before man or before God? If you work before God, he will bless you. He will raise you up. He will send a man, not from your business, from another business, and he will say, I want you to work for my company. That's what happened to me many times. I want you to run my company. Sorry, I already got my own thing going. God wants to bless you so you can have enough to live. Some of you here already have enough. So you're like, this message is not for me. No, there's more steps. And that's, we're going to finish next week.
Thank you for listening to this sermon.
I believe that the words of Jesus spoke directly to your heart, and now you have an opportunity to respond. You can do that by praying a simple prayer. Jesus, save me, forgive me, and draw me closer to you. If you prayed this prayer, or if these messages had some impact in your life, would you consider sharing your testimony on our homepage? Your stories encourage others as we bring people closer to Jesus.